Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Nerds Assemble podcast.
This week, we've been ill, so we haven't actually prepared a show per se, so we're just going to wing it.
We have ideas.
We have ideas.
And we have vision.
So many ideas.
So many ideas.
And vision.
I haven't.
Park life. Well, if you're going to have lofty ideas, you might as well just put park life at the end.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
So yeah, if for some reason you want to complain about the fact that we haven't prepped this show at all because we've been dying. Seriously, I was like one day away from ending up in hospital last week.
Seriously, if you want to complain, then, you know, you should go rethink your life.
Yeah. If you really want to complain, or find out how you can send me healing chocolates and wine, then please email contact@nerdsassemble.co.uk.
And if you want to send bombs and death threats instead, there's a different address that we actually put that for.
Yeah.
It's about ethics.
In journalism. Games journalism.
Yeah.
Yes.
And film journalism and books journalism. Oh, wait, no, just in games.
Just in games.
Just in games.
And nothing about ethics and political, you know, coverage or current affairs or anything like that. No, not at all. But, yeah, so, I don't know, I haven't been on Twitter enough in the past week to know how shizzle's been going down in the GG department.
The GG.
GG department.
GG.
Whenever I used to play a video game online, I used to say GG as in like good game.
Mm.
Now I can't do that.
No, you can't.
That's like a calling card. I've seen people complain about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so breaking on the news headlines tonight is, this is how fresh it is, it only came to my attention 16 minutes ago.
Ooh.
So, TV channel stars who did Spartacus have just announced that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are headlining their new Evil Dead TV series to premiere next year.
Mm.
That has been cooking along for a while, the Evil Dead TV series. I remember hearing
about
it. But
the fact that we've got stuff coming next year, apparently.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
And Rob Tapper is on board as executive producer, along with Sam Raimi. And Bruce Campbell's taking the starring role.
Did you say that it was going to be a TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah, TV series next year.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's officially titled Ash vs. Evil Dead. And it's a 10-episode series.
Okay.
With plenty of scope. And I have to say, Evil Dead always used to make me chuckle as a kid. So I'll be quite looking forward to that one.
Can I apologise in advance of any sniffing and whatnot? Because there is no way that we can fucking edit this out.
Yeah, we're still kind of ill. Paul made me laugh before we sort of got on Skype to sort of put together this episode. And I couldn't breathe because it was too much for my still not very well lungs.
To be fair, I was concerned because you didn't even get the chance to even like give a little bit of a chuckle before. So I thought I just literally killed you with a joke.
It was a worrying, intense few moments filled with, you know, a lack of air on my part.
What? Was what you said in German?
See, Emily's now silent. Are you wondering whether she's dead or not? It's like what happens when Emily doesn't see cats for like a week. She just, you know, assumes that they're dead and just writes them off.
Aww. I get worried about the kitties. God damn it. It is concerning when they're not around for a week.
Maybe we should have like a campaign to like show your kitty. You know, just
that
have that on, as a hashtag.
So
oh dear, yeah, actually come to think of it.
So wrong so very quickly.
Oh crap, I've killed Emily again. It's alright. There's water there.
Oh dear.
It's okay.
Oops.
See, that wasn't me, that was you.
I was quiet all the way through that. So nothing to do with me.
I merely pointed out it could be unfortunate.
It's the first podcast with a live death on.
Unfortunately, for viewers, we now have to switch off the podcast as the ambulance has been called.
You're going to have to take another sip of water for that one, aren't you?
I think we all have to reboot Emily.
Don't worry, not in a Chobits type way.
Oh dear.
You're okay, Emily?
That's kind of related to how it could have gone wrong.
I'm sorry. I'm dying.
This podcasting business is dangerous work.
Oh, it really is. Especially when you've got three jokers broadcasting with you. It's brilliant.
Three? You only counted two.
Is
that because you don't find me funny?
No, I wasn't counting myself. I was just counting you in retro.
I would be interested to watch a TV series about the Evil Dead. Of course.
Steering back.
Now that I can breathe and have thoughts on this,
we're still ill. We warned you.
Yeah, we're just a little bit better than last week. I say a little bit. We're a lot better than last week. Not very well, but I suppose if you're gonna have TV series about the Evil Dead, it's kind of like how do we? I hope they easily reconcile the fact that obviously Ash is going to be a lot older now.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter how you cut it. Bruce Campbell has aged a little bit, and the story has aged.
He's filled out a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So you can't kind of jump from, like, Army of Darkness, kind of, he works back at, you know, what was it?
I can't remember the name of the market.
Quick Smart? S-Smart.
Is it S-Smart?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Can't kind of jump to him like being still working out there without kind of some sort of time frame, you know, reference.
Definitely.
In a semi-related way, we just recently watched that, was it Day of the Dead or whatever it is, recent of the Dead films.
Oh, right. Okay. Blimey, that's... not Diary of the Dead, I can't even remember.
What was
the latest Dead film from George A. Romero?
It was Survival of the Dead.
Survival of the Dead, that's one, because that's linked up with Diary of the Dead.
Briefly.
Well, this was the one where it had Blokey from The Mentalist.
Oh, no, that's Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
There you go, Land of the Dead, yes, so that was it.
That was the fourth film in the series.
It was all right.
Cool. Are we moving the discussion on? I think that we should.
Okay, so the next one I've got is Matt Damon is coming back as Bourne.
Oh yeah, I totally noticed that. Was that this morning that they kind of confirmed that? Yeah,
or yesterday I think.
Or was it yesterday?
Cool.
Bourne reborn.
What, is it one Bourne every minute?
they're gonna start filming next year, and Greengrass is back as well, and they're aiming for a 2016 release, which also means that 2016 is becoming a very, very busy year for film going.
Let's see what's going on in 2016 then.
Well, there's a bunch of Marvel, DC, oh god, what else? Star Wars.
Was that 2015?
No, Star Wars is 20...
Did it get pushed back?
Or is Star Wars 2015?
I thought it was Christmas 2015.
Maybe Christmas 2015.
I've got to admit, I'm looking forward to that slightly, knowing the subtitle of, The
Force Awakening.
The Force Awakens. Like,
I'm looking forward to it Lucas isn't doing it.
That definitely can help.
But Mr. Abrams is...
Yes, so it's like, on one hand, Lucas isn't doing it. Hooray! On the other hand, J.J. Abrams is doing it. Oh, fuck.
On the plus side, it isn't Uwe Boll.
Or
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Have you watched Into Darkness recently?
Not recently, but I have seen it.
mm.
Yeah, I know. I quite enjoyed it, but obviously it wasn't quite as epic as the first.
Can we bring this back to the Bourne franchise and the awesome action?
I'm glad
I'm sorry, bringing it back to the schedule that we don't have.
The schedule we don't have, but also the fact that, don't forget that the next James Bond film has to involve super gonorrhea. Don't forget that.
Yes.
I don't remember why, but I do remember super gonorrhea.
Yeah.
I believe it's your idea, isn't it?
That's the less successful Nintendo
franchise. Do you know what made... Can I talk a little bit a moment just about what we've been up to, what we've been on in terms of entertaining ourselves? Netflix was our friend. Anyone who's got me on TV Tag will realise that I watched a copious amount of action movies last week, and general sort of dramas as well. And then we started watching Orange is the New Black. And do you know what? There was a super gonorrhea reference in Orange is the New Black. And I was like, oh my God, they know. It was just this lovely moment of my knowledge meeting with script writers that made me feel really good.
And I'm sorry. Were you enjoying Orange?
Yes.
Like it was the New Black?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'll talk about that a bit more in a bit, but I just had to bring that up purely for the context.
Of super gonorrhea?
Yeah.
I'm, by the way, my mind is formulating shitty Bond title jokes.
Okay.
Let's see. There's one Bond every minute. Something born out, which, you know, possibly if he has a clone who's gay or something, that could be good. I'll just bring some more up as we go.
Maybe born in a barn.
The problem to me, though, is after seeing America, I can't watch Matt Damon without just thinking, my name is Matt Damon. That's cool.
That sounded too much like the Michael Caine impression, then.
Matt Damon pretending to be Michael Caine.
There's no Team America.
No, that's Matt more Damon. Matt Damon.
I think he just blasted Matt everyone's Damon. Eardrums.
I think I did as well, but I mean, yeah, it kind of fits.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, I think Matt Damon's brilliant, but yeah.
He is.
There's still that iconic, you know, kind of impression, which is nothing like him, but it's still kind of slightly hilarious for some reason.
I personally think that Trey and Matt might be a little jealous that, you know, Good Will Hunting was a thing. It's just a feeling I get.
It was a movie that was successful, and it kind of meant something as well.
And what would we go and do? Produce South Park the movie, and then Team America or Police.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously South Park has messages, but it's not anywhere near in the same vein as, you know, like Good Will Hunting. So I like both. So
has anyone seen that clip that surfaced this week from South Park where it talks about freemium games?
I know they've had an episode about it, but I haven't actually watched, because we tend to catch up with South Park via DVD.
Yeah, so. Although we haven't for a while. I think they're on season, 14, 15 now, possibly even more.
Season, oh my God, it's still going on. Oh God, it's just, I'm so old.
More than 14 or 15, because I mean, we've got up to about season 12 or 13, and we haven't collected it for absolutely ages, so it must be up to something like season like 16 out UK release.
You know, we kind of wait a while to buy box sets of South Park, because, you know, you got to really get those episodes together, because the amount they'll decide to cut out for the UK release, because they think we're going to get in fucking trouble for having it in this country.
That was really kind of mind-boggling. Basically, they, what was it, they cut an entire episode from the box set, or a couple of episodes from the box set, because of, you know, certain references to stuff that they didn't want to kind of get involved in.
In the UK.
In the UK. And so we're like, well, it kind of makes me not want to buy it now, because we don't have the kind of complete collection of it.
God, it's like watching sci-fi series on BBC in the early 90s.
Mm. Yeah. I remember something happened with Farscape, with one of the episodes that was kind of revolving around kind of concept of drugs, and I can't remember whether they shifted it from like the prime time slot of like 6 p.m. all the way until like 11:30 or something stupid like that, just for that one episode.
I remember there was a bare knuckle boxing episode of Babylon 5 that got held back and then eventually shown late night. As it turned out, it was a bit of a crap episode anyway, but
I don't remember that one.
What? And let's see, there were things like the BBC was showing Quantum Leap at the times of the LA riots, and there was a riot episode, so they held that back. And because of the way that Quantum Leap was done, where Sam would leap, and it would just sort of, you know, go to white, and then it would be, you know, his next leap.
Yeah.
For the next episode, they just did whatever the hell they fancied with that. They just, right, we'll skip an episode out, maybe show it eventually.
I know there was a Star Trek Next Generation episode, which was based around the concept of terrorism, and that was pulled in favour of the kind of whole IRA kind of scare at the time as well.
Wait, so scare? I mean, when did that episode go out? It was still when there was a real issue.
It must have been like season 4 or so. So
yeah,
probably about 98
or 4.
Yeah.
But then again, to say it was a real issue, it's still an issue. I mean, Northern Ireland's still getting fudged. So.
Well, I think it was about 92.
So it was before.
Surely, because Next Generation started like way earlier than like. Yeah, so.
It started in 87. Next Generation. So I can feel older.
So by the time in like season 3, that was 1990. Yep. And then when they actually finished the series, that would have been 94? Holy crap!
It's okay.
Well, all you have to do is look at when the first, well, Star Trek Generations, when that came out, because they were writing that at the same time as the final season of Next Gen.
That means... God. That means that the end of Next Generation, which is season 7, the final bit, which is, you know, all good things, that came out literally 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy.
I'm going to move us on a moment. We're excited for Bourne.
I've got to go and pick up my pension now.
Yeah. We're excited for another Jason Bourne film.
We're just going to start drinking now.
Yeah.
We've already been drinking.
Yeah. That a bottle of red wine has been consumed this evening in
and
celebration.
And another bottle opened.
Yeah, in celebration of me passing my driving tests, which I managed to do whilst, you know, half a lung down.
Which means that if you basically slander us on Twitter, we do have the facilities to now drive up to your house, ring the bell, and punch you in the face.
Nah, I was thinking Jay and Silent Bob had it classy, like they had baseball bats.
Okay, well we can do that. There's enough room in the boot.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I was gonna move us on to the fact that it's so funny. I'm desperate for a Fallout game. Okay. I'm really freaking desperate for a Fallout game. And every time there's a tiny bit of news and I'm like, is that really true? And everyone suddenly gets really excited, really freaking excited. Well, this little gem cropped up whilst I was ill last week, and somebody noticed that in Germany a trademark had been filed for a Fallout Shadow of Boston game in Germany.
Oh, it's those trademarks again.
And I suppose it's a bit more elaborate than the previous web domain registrations that have happened previously. I'll give them that. You're filing something with a trademark office, that's pretty good. But Bethesda kind of eventually said onto it, that's not us.
Oh!
And said it was a hoax.
I want my Fallout or another Skyrim.
I mean, it's one of the things that's certainly putting me off getting. I'm not. I realised after last week's Nintendo Direct that I'm not excited for any of the main AAA games coming out at the moment.
Apart from Batman Arkham Knight.
No, I'm not even that excited for that.
What? I saw the gameplay trailer at EGX, and I'm sexy for it.
I'm not sexy for.
Oh yes,
I'm in.
You're sexy for Batman.
Oh yes.
Ooh.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not that excited at the moment.
As long as he hasn't got nipples.
What I really want—that's
an alternate costume DLC.
What I really want is Bethesda to pull their thumb out of their ass and either make a new Fallout game that is not New Vegas or a new Skyrim game. Oh, I say Skyrim games, duh. An Elder Scrolls game which isn't online. That's what I want. I want Bethesda to do something.
It's up. The Elder Scrolls game rather than Fallout.
I can go either way, but technically it should really be Fallout because the, you know, Elder Scrolls, well, last Elder Scrolls was...
Skip that. Just after. Do Elder Scrolls. Thank you.
Do both.
No, they could do both. I'd like that.
I'm not being greedy this either. I'll just have new Elder Scrolls.
Because I don't think I am being greedy.
I just want both.
Because I don't think I could necessarily get the funds together for a PC that could run a next gen. You know, Elder Scrolls or Fallout.
I reckon you could.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
After all, the next gen consoles aren't not that powerful, really.
So maybe I should just build a PC.
Hmm?
Build a PC.
Mm. Well, I'll say it again. My PC recently built, and you know, I went for good, but not top end. You know, bleeding edge tech in it, and it was effortlessly running Alien Isolation in 60 FPS, whereas both next gen console versions are 30.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's there. We go. They were locked to 30. I was getting silky smooth, you know, 60, which just made the videos that came up, which you may have heard. You know, the video can be a little bit jerky, and for some reason it stood out even more because everything was just silky smooth and gorgeous, and then you get to, you know, slightly what's going on. If this is running it from QuickTime in 1994 sort of video.
Okay,
I exaggerate slightly, but
I've just come across a news article which claims that Community is adding Padgett Brewster and Keith David to season 6 cast.
Oh, nice.
So that's Community.
That's good. Who are they?
Keith David, you might remember from things like There's Something About Mary, or from They Live.
Or all right. The voice I've seen They Live.
Well, you might remember him from Mass Effect.
Oh.
He was, your original captain. Can't remember his name, but him.
Hmm.
Which will be awesome.
Hang on, not Anderson.
Anderson? Oh, it's been so long since I've played Mass Effect.
But the Admiral Hackett is...
Lance Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Yes, we know it's Lance Hendrickson.
Yeah. We've got a fangirl for Lance Hendrickson here.
Let's go, ooh, Lance Hendrickson.
That is not a denial.
just because I've got, you know, like his, you know, partial autobiography comes sort of ghostwritten biography, you know,
and as well as skin samples hair. And
there is no skin samples.
And anyway, skin samples these days aren't very good for getting DNA for cloning. So no point.
But seriously,
we're going to have to chuck some stuff out.
Seriously, Not Bad for a Human is a really good read. Really good read. Yeah.
Cool.
But
it's already major points for having that title.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who heard about a series of unfortunate events being adapted by Netflix for like a series?
Yeah, like, I did.
Okay.
I suppose because I saw the film in the cinema, and I mean I read I think a bit of the first book, but the style really put me off, so I didn't continue with it. But it's just the main thing is you've got this evil bastard trying to kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
How do you make a bunch of episodes about that?
I could invite him to
catch the pigeon.
Our old street.
I suppose, yeah. Catch the Pigeon managed to somehow string itself along for a very, very long time. It could work, I suppose. I assume they're obviously aiming it towards the kind of like 8 and above market.
You'd have hoped so.
You know, so 8 to probably like 14-year-olds or something. So, yeah. Not that I'm saying that their inability to, they have an inability to grasp more complex formulae of fiction. But then again, I was wondering, how could you make a compelling TV series about women in a prison? Found out you can.
So, aha!
And Netflix did that. So,
they're doing really well with their own series, don't they?
Yeah.
So this, which is one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to Daredevil, see what I can do with that.
Has anyone seen the Dusk Till Dawn series?
I'm waiting to watch that.
Yeah, I told back from the they're doing really good with TV series.
Hmm.
That isn't them. They that is the that was made with
that was on TV, right?
Yeah, that was made by Thingy's own network in the States.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, he's got his own network. Yeah. Sorry, well, sort of network that, or channel.
I thought that was a Netflix original, as
no,
done for them.
It's not. It was it, not done for was, them. Not in the States.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit dicey when things say, you know, Netflix original. Basically, oh, yeah. Kind of means that it's not published anywhere else in your territory.
Oh, yeah, I just hadn't heard anything about it being on a TV.
El Rey is the name of the network. El Rey.
Ah, right.
Channel. But yeah, we did actually talk, when before they released the series, we did talk about it on here.
Hmm. Well, I find it kind of interesting how, you know, obviously, even though you have stuff like Game of Thrones, which has quite graphic sex scenes, and you have, Californication, which had quite graphic sex scenes and whatnot, you have, like, Orange is the New Black, and it kind of does make me wonder whether, you know, kind of part of the reason why they can kind of get away with certain things is basically because it isn't broadcast in such a way that it's like, yeah, you can accidentally turn over to it.
It's more of an opt-in rather than it's just going to be on your screen.
Exactly. So it does make me wonder, you know, what kind of programming people like, you know, Netflix can actually, you know, do. Can they do more risque stuff?
Well, look at sci-fi. We were just last night we watched the first episode of Dominion, I think it is. Anyone know what that is?
No idea.
It's, oh, there's a, God disappears, the angels blame humanity and have a big war with them.
Okay.
And it's a sci-fi channel series, and it's got Mr. Stuart Head in as a sort of a bad guy. And also Jim from Neighbours in the late 80s.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
And the thing that was absolutely cracking me up is there's a conversation between, so far as I'm concerned, Jim from Neighbours and Giles, and they're both being American.
That is, oh my lordy.
Are they trying to out-American each other?
Well, I'm not entirely convinced by Mr. Anthony Stewart Head's American sort of, you know, drawl. let's put it that way.
But he does play a rather good Englishman.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, weird, especially when, you know, I'm watching all these other series like, you know, like Walking Dead, where the lead is a Brit.
Yeah.
And he's having to be American, and it's just, you know, this is weird. Why are we making so few? Because
there's not enough work over here.
Yeah, it's amazing how many British people are over in Hollywood, you know, kind of taking up, you know, we're stealing their jobs. We're complaining that, you know, immigrants are taking our jobs. Meanwhile, we're going to Hollywood taking their jobs.
Assholes are complaining about that.
We keep shipping actors and actresses and then behind the scenes people, and you're like producers and directors and editors. You know, we just keep shipping all this talent over there because the media industry over here can't get a fecking grip about a decent way to produce series. Can I please have a rant about Doctor Who moment based on this?
Yes.
Okay,
no. I was just thinking that.
That sounds like a pretty good idea.
Okay, look. What became clear to me watching this just finished season of Doctor Who is that hardly any money or time was spent on the motherfucking scripts. Christ, the way they were put together and the dialogue and the pacing, it was like, what, you did what, two drafts? What the fuck? I couldn't believe it. It was like, it was just less tight than the previous. I mean, I hate the way that MacGubbins are used in Who, but
yeah.
Christ, this got really hard to ignore due to just the crap framework everything else had kind of set up. I thought
you were going to go into more of a tirade than that.
I can't. It's too dangerous at the moment.
There have been less MacGubbins this series than there have been in the previous ones, especially under Russell T. Bloody Davis.
There was, but also the last episode really did try and shoehorn too much into too short a space, and it just didn't really...
It's also nice to know that the only thing you need to do to ignore the fact that you've been dead, possibly for years, and to, you know, ignore, at this stage, possibly we're back to being alien with the Cybermen.
Yeah.
You know, technology. And cybernetics and the hive mind and mind control and reprogramming and deleting your personality and memories and everything like that. All you need to do is basically, if you're a named character in Doctor Who, then it's okay. You can completely ignore all that control and you can still remain roughly who you are, and even though you're a cyberman, possibly been dead for decades.
Their methodology for that, I mean, the MacGuffin situation, that was perhaps the worst MacGuffin for the entire season, because it was like, right, so you're in a grave. I looked at some of the dates on those graves. I was like, oh, 1700 and whatever, yes, and there's something crawling out. And it was like, do you know what a decomposed body would be like if it's been in the ground that long? Because I tell you what, it isn't going to... it's not going to hold any flipping Cyberman suit up. You might as well just build a robot and be done with it.
Bearing in mind that you have more experience, basically, because you've done research on
burial practices and
for you know, kind of a book and for your masters and whatnot.
And their use in cybernetic warfare.
That was a sideline, you know.
As a hobby.
Yeah.
just bow that away for future.
I mean, and God, they was like, oh, yeah, and America. And I was like, yeah, where they embalm most of the frickin' bodies, because people still haven't realised that there's no legal obligation to embalm bodies in the US, despite it being exposed as a needless practice in the 1970s by this undercover journalist. It's like, you wouldn't, the Cybermen wouldn't be able to do with that crap.
It's either that, I mean, even if you had, you know, somehow pre-programmed, you know, the nanobots and whatnot to completely, you know, kind of rebuild the body and then build the suit after. What's the point? Because you could do that out of literally anything else, any other material. Because you've got all the information
there
to do that.
And you know what? India be freaking laughing. Because they cremate a lot of their dead.
Yes.
So they'd be like, right, bitches, we got nukes. Fuck all of you.
I was very disappointed that there wasn't Osama bin Laden flying out of the ocean.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's uh-oh, nightmare.
That's just...
The worst thing about it is that they shot up into the air and kind of exploded as well.
Yeah.
To
be fair to it, I was waiting because I'm used to Russell T. Davis. Shite. And also Moffat's pulled it as well, where there'd just be a magical reset and suddenly it wouldn't have happened anymore.
I was waiting for that as well.
Yeah, actually. Or my all-time favourite example of oh, fuck off, that I've ever seen in any TV series was in the first time they had the Daleks and the Cybermen invading Earth and they were coming through that
pole. Yeah, season 2. Hmm.
It's okay, push the lever the other way. And they all fly back in.
You know, that's a bit like, have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yes. Mm. So that was just shit. There's no debating that. It was just
they really needed to sort out their finales.
At the point, I got to a point during Saturday's episode where I was thinking, Matt, I know they think they've got kids as an audience. That's all fucking fine and whatever. But bloody hell, Round the Twist was better written than this. The original Round the Twist from the 90s. It's like, or the crazy time traveling one that they had at one point in the 90s, which was also Australian, I believe, or New Zealand. And it was about this girl from the future. There was like a weird kind of hexagonal orb thing that you could get into and it traveled back in time. She was from some post-apocalyptic future with some assholes and telekinesis with headbands.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I mentioned before on here about Chucky. That's it. Good silence. Yep. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Yep. Where the idea was, and you know, it's out there on YouTube, so you can watch the first episode. But you know, if you watch it now and you think this was children's TV, where it's a young boy and he's a bit withdrawn and he's starting to write stuff down and he's got an imaginary friend called Chucky, and as it turns out. He's writing stuff down in his maths book, and he's just putting yes, no, 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 yes, yes, you know, and things like that. And he's spelling out, and the maths teacher recognizes it as binary. And, you know, he said, where did you get this from? And go, Chucky told me. And basically, Chucky, I can't remember whether it's an alien or like an AI which has been sent to observe Earth, and it's, you know, found, you know, interesting specimens of humanity, usually, you know, the young ones, because they're easier to, observe. Right. And basically, well, you know, an adult isn't going to accept an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Is it? And, you know, it's that kind of thing. And it's just, there are some reasonably high-level sci-fi ideas in a series like that. And now, yeah, we've got Mary Poppins and Cybermen coming out of, cyber zombies. I liked her, but
Missy was quite deranged.
I could have done without Missy being the master. It wasn't necessary.
I've had this conversation.
I would have preferred it to be the Rani.
Yeah, even though I've had people say, yeah, but no, the Rani was a bit crap. And, you know, the stories weren't very great that, you know, that she was in. And she, well, that's fine. But considering the amount of reboots and re-engineerings and things like that that New Who was done.
Yeah.
That makes no difference whatsoever to me. It's like, yeah, the original character might have been a bit, you know, crap in the way she was used. I mean, fair enough. She was in Sylvester McCoy era. So, you know, that's when the entire series was being run into the ground.
Colin Baker.
Didn't think he was a great doctor anyway, but it's, you know, so fine, you know, okay, the original character, what, you know, blah blah blah, but they didn't bring back the master as, you know, a sort of, you know, gothic Machiavellian evil, did they, you know, with a beard? No. So it doesn't matter. So it would have made more sense if it was Rani, and then it would have made more sense if it was her, especially with the, you know, the whole scientific thing, with sort of experimenting on the dead and things like that, because she was just an amoral... Yeah, she was an amoral Time Lord scientist who didn't give a toss about the, you know, the lower species like, you know, the Doctor does. So it would have made perfect sense. It would have made perfect sense because, yeah, she could have just, yeah, whatever, yeah, but they're dead, so who cares? Whereas, oh, it's the master again.
So,
the only good thing that they've been able to do there is they've been able to create a system where in the future they can have a female doctor. Because they can't really get around it now.
Tough. Yeah.
Male Time Lord going to a female Time Lord. President is set.
It doesn't really explain why it hasn't happened before, though.
But then we just have to accept the social cultural values of the BBC and their inability to treat women fairly in any way or form, because you know, if anyone's heard the ageism row that's just kicking off again lately, it's like, yeah, BBC well, and women. Yeah.
There's that, and you only... Well, I saw a few... I'm not stupid enough to do this, which is amazing considering I've been Gamergate baiting on Twitter. Mm. But I'm not stupid enough to wander onto a Doctor Who forum and see what they thought of the Master being a woman. Apparently it was meltdown, and there were people going on about PC agenda and never going to watch this again. And it's like, oh, fuck off. You're absolutely perfectly fine with someone changing, you know, nigh completely from one person to another. Personality, appearance, age, accent, everything like that. You're fine with that, but if someone changes chromosome and suddenly becomes a woman, you flip your shit. Come on!
Oh, I have to admit, I mean, I said to Emily earlier that if I had to be a stand... If I was not necessarily forced to be a stand-up comedian, but if I became a stand-up comedian, I would actually target myself as, you know, basically anti-PC. Because there's just so many comedians out there that are like, oh, yes, this PC, you know, rubbish is, you know, destroying, you know, kind of humour and whatnot. And, you know, basically going on a anti-PC tirade. And it's like,
yeah,
there's a reason why we have political correctness. It's misguided to a certain extent.
To be, you know, to not be arseholes.
Yeah. I mean, it may be misguided to a certain extent because it obviously only kind of changes the language rather than the intention behind it. But by the same token, you know, having, you know, so many people kind of come out and being like anti-PC and just basically trying to kind of use kind of that raw kind of misogynistic and racist and xenophobic humour to their advantage is kind of like, well, no, you're kind of making a living out of being a dick and getting laughs for it.
I want to segue into another female...
Segue
into another female character situation that's developed.
Oh, go for it.
Well, Marvel Phase 3, as Cookie kind of brought up before we started recording, there was a lot of news announced, you know, a couple of weeks ago that we weren't able to cover because of the dying and shit. You know.
But it's okay, we came back as Cybermen.
Oh, yeah.
But because we have given names at the start of the episode, that means we're still ourselves.
Yes.
Are you sure, though?
It doesn't explain the snot.
Got a little bracelet.
Delete.
Marvel Phase 3. So far, let's name some films, shall we?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So, name some names, give some dates. May 2016 is Captain America Civil War.
Yay.
I don't understand why they have Captain America Civil War, considering Civil War was literally like a massive event in the Marvel Universe. And
it's so they can get several things out of them.
Yeah, but by the same token, it shouldn't be kind of, you know, to
can
Captain
I, can
America.
Can I continue reading the list? Can I? Yeah?
Right, no, fine, geez.
November 2016, Doctor Strange movie.
Yay.
Scott Derrickson finally confirmed as director. Then we got May 2017 is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yay.
July 2017, Thor Ragnarok. Well, we all know that's going to be about doom and gloom and death. November 2017, Black Panther.
Yes.
None of these are like set titles. This is just, you know, the character movies are happening.
You know, sorry to burst your bubble, but, you know, the Thor movie is actually about a benefits concert.
May 2018 is Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
Yes.
July 2018, Captain Marvel. I'm quite happy about that. November 2018, Inhumans. It was November 2018. And then May 2019, so a year after the previous film, Avengers Infinity War Part 2. That's a lot of films.
I still find it kind of depressing how it's basically they've worked kind of half a decade in advance.
Yep.
It's just forward planning.
There's forward planning, and then there's like, hey, yeah, it doesn't matter what happens, we're going to do these films.
Let's just milk the money.
It does make me wonder what happens if, like, next year superhero films bottom out.
I would like to know, considering how many films are here, what is the average Marvel film budget, and then multiply that per that number of films.
That's a good point,
it's actually scary money. Scary freaking money. And in total, it's like if you drew a pie chart that was like, yeah, like pre-production, production, post-production is like one segment, and then like other, and then marketing. I hate to think how big a pie piece would be marketing.
Most of them will probably be filmed in the UK, where they're going to get all those tax benefits, which are.
Oh yeah, unless of course. Because, you know, it's elections next year. There's still a chance for somebody to get in and fuck it all up.
So, I don't like to think about that.
Even more so?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it was great how, you know, like, Labour had set up for games tax relief, you know, just before the last election. Coalition gets in. Oh, no, we're scrapping every single bit of, like, relief planning that Labour put in and it started the ball rolling on. Yeah, we're going to give it at least a year to think about this, maybe two. Oh, okay, now we're going to do tax relief for video games and animation. And it's like, well, guys.
After everybody's left.
Yeah. Well, freaking done. You know, this is after freaking Bob the Builder and co. go all bloody CG. Rather than freaking stop animation. It was one of
the signs of the apocalypse.
And I was just like, oh. If they hadn't freaking reneged on what, just because it was Labour's fucking ideas, you know, like, you know.
I think we're getting way too political.
To be fair, it is the fault of Labour for starting the worldwide global recession in America, where they were in power, apparently.
But anyway, we're getting a Captain Marvel movie. Yay! Yep.
I don't know about Carol the character.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
I barely know Captain America.
Woo!
Oh, you're like Captain Marvel.
I hope that they do have an origin story for her that's similar to the current running kind of timeline in the comics. So that'd be good. But you know what? Because obviously, I don't know what the exact DC release schedule is of films at the moment, but.
Ooh, that's crazy as well, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe, just maybe, I'm thinking, maybe we've got to a stage where there are too many comic book movies. Is it possible? But then I remember how many Westerns were produced, and I think, actually, it hasn't got bad enough yet. Because that got crazy.
I'm hoping it doesn't get too, you know, so crowded that several big films don't make up their budgets, and then that leads to cold feet and withdrawing.
Part of the problem is, though, is that you don't just have to look at the film industry. You also have to look at the TV industry as well, because you've got Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You've got X amount of, you know, kind of DC properties. You've got, you know,
Constantine's already in trouble as a series.
No.
I mean, you've got, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what is it, Peggy Carter, you've got, you know, all
which Channel 4 haven't picked up.
No.
That's because they're shit.
You have all of the ones that are meant to be going on Netflix exclusives, like, you know, kind of Daredevil and,
Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I will say that this weekend, you know, me, the missus, and our good friend Dave Internet sat down and watched the pilot of Constantine.
What did you think?
I quite liked it.
I did as well.
I will be angry if, as will my mate Dave Internet.
He
liked it too.
I may have to go around to my parents to watch it because
they've
like,
got Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so
we've got Netflix. They've got Amazon Prime.
Cool. It's definitely worth watching.
Do you know what's really bad though? Oh, this is a separate rant at the moment because my mum hadn't figured out how to use Amazon Prime yet on the laptop. So, you know, we're around there earlier, you know, after I've given my good news of passing my flipping driving test, saw now a load of tech, because that's what happens when you go around to the parents' houses.
Your aunt had the laptop waiting as though she knew that we were going to be there at some point during the day, and she had a problem ready TV, you know, kind of passed on to us to solve.
Yeah.
But it was a silly problem as
but
well.
Mum started asking questions about the Amazon Prime, and yeah, I hadn't been on the Amazon Prime website really before, so I was like, okay, fine, go look at the video section. And I found it was a lot less user-friendly, I felt, than Netflix. Like, the layout and stuff, and the fact that if you're in the web version, you, like, go on to the, like, say, a program page, and it is one that you get with Prime or something. But right immediately below the, watch episode blah now with Prime sort of button, which, okay, is the biggest button, but right immediately underneath it, a reasonable size, are also buttons about buying the damn thing. And it's like...
That's annoying.
That's like... The Amazon Prime subscription, I'd like to point out at this point, was accidental. Because they didn't realise what they were getting into.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, right, so we could end up with more accidental purchases at this rate. Whereas I was very unhappy with the...
Especially if they've got that one click.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. So.
Because it makes it so easy. The downside is it makes it so easy.
Yep. So, yeah. I'm going to... So... I'm like,
you know, there's roughly about 30 superhero movies due now between now and 2020.
Oh, God.
I'd say that number again?
30, roughly.
Fucking hell.
Mm-hmm. Because you've got Fantastic Four. You've got Ant-Man out next year as well. You've got Suicide Squad.
There's a couple of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I've skipped past them. Wonder Woman, Fantastic Four 2.
X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse. You've got Justice League Part 1, Venom movie, unknown female-driven Spider-Man movie. The Flash.
That sounds good, that one.
You've also got Aquaman, Shazam, Move the Rock. Is Black Adam. Going to be there playing with that one, but there you go. Cyborg, Justice League Part 2, and Green Lantern.
Quick question. Yeah. Usually, well, I've got one of the things that I've been taught, during films and whatnot, is that, films that are popular during that kind of time exploit a fundamental wanting or weakness in society from, that time. What does that say about this society, our society at the moment, where superhero films are just so fucking popular?
Because the injustices of this world are nowhere simple to solve as the injustices in the superhero films that we watch. And thus we like the simplicity of the injustices portrayed in these films and the fact that they can be easily solved. Whereas, as I found with Uwe Boll trying to represent the feelings of the recent Wall Street crash in Assault on Wall Street, is that it is very difficult to represent a contemporary issue closer to reality and manage to quite pull it off. It was almost sincere, but then it just turned into this great big fantasy fulfillment.
Yeah.
So basically... Everything's fucked.
Also, I just like seeing Loki punched in the face by the Hulk.
Yeah. I mean, I swear, I think I heard, that like Warner are just like, look, guys, seriously, could we just have them for just, a couple of movies, just have a scene, and I don't know, we'll give you like freaking Aquaman for like, and he can face off against Nemo or something for like, I know, a couple of scenes. Yeah, come on. Totally do that.
There's still that rumour circulating that Sony are in talks to let Marvel use Spider-Man in the Avengers.
But how much of that is just wish fulfillment?
On the part of fans.
Mm. True. But it'd be an interesting little thing, because they've always gotten better with Sony than they have
Fox. Yeah.
And it'd be easy for them to reboot Spider-Man. And then Sony take over.
Again.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. I mean, say, for example, the DC Universe. We're kind of... we've just had the Nolan films, and, we're just about to have, Superman and whatnot, and it wasn't... it was actually a fair while ago that we had Man of Steel, and you know, yeah, we had like Smallville quite close to Arrow and whatnot, and they're all disconnected, despite the fact that their original source comes from an incredibly connected universe. And I feel like if they were connected, it would be better. It'll be more like Marvel, and it'll be better. But it isn't, and it's kind of depressing how, you know, we're going to have, like, you know, just so many different interpretations played by different actors of the same characters within the space of 10 years.
I still think fundamentally that a lot of superhero stuff would be better served by being episodic on TV.
Or, you know, they finally, you know, get some licenses back, and it isn't even just, you know, like, entire TV series for one or two characters. It's universe breaking TV series.
It works
because Marvel and Disney have pulled it off, and they've created a connected universe within the TV sphere and Marvel and the movie sphere, and it works.
I think when it comes to TV, Fringe has actually proven that there's a lot more scope and a lot more that you can actually do with TV series than film anyway. I mean, say for example, if you had, you know, kind of a film which is kind of dimension hopping, for example, you get something like The One, and you don't get enough time to actually kind of get a feel for the different dimensions. You just, oh, these characters are kind of, you know, popping here and there. Oh, he chases them down. That's fine. But with TV series, you know, you have much, you know, lengthier and much more involved dramatic points.
Most of us have brought up again and again on this podcast is the scope that a TV, especially Retroid, scope that a TV series provides. Yeah. I just wanted to move us on. I want to move us on, but I also just want to kind of reiterate that I'm just not happy with the sheer volume of superhero stuff. I mean, I kind of like the odd bit of superhero film going, but do you know what? I was... even though Guardians of the Galaxy was all shiny and lovely and had new characters in it this year, I wasn't like 100% amazed by it. And not because it wasn't characters I wasn't used to, it's because I could see where shit was going a mile off. And meanwhile, X-Men Days of Future Past was like, I was surprised by how few scenes that film had, or how long, or what the bits that they concentrated on rather than others. And it basically, it wasn't as tight as X-Men First Class.
Nowhere near as tight.
And I was just like,
Because, well, I've said before that X-Men First Class was the first X-Men film I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's not as good as X-Men First Class, but it's nowhere near as bad as the third X-Men movie.
Yeah, in fact, it actually does quite good by retconning the third movie altogether.
Yep.
Well, they say, previous two movies, and everyone just, you know, sort of glances, you know, swaps glances and go, yeah, it's for the best if we never talk about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to move us on to one last story that kind of popped up on my newsfeed just before I was ill. And that was that an analyst has said that big media shot itself in the foot by selling shows to Netflix. This was Bernstein Research's Ted Unger's compelling report, which looked at like viewership levels of actual broadcast television versus on demand in America. And he was like, oh God, there's been like a 4% decline in 18 to 49 year olds watching, you know, TV.
A 4% decline,
you
my
know,
God,
versus the same, you know, versus the same period, like in like a previous year, and it was just like, and you know, just thinking about like advertising revenue, blah this, blah that, and the bullshit that came out of this report, and the quotes, which as obviously, I didn't get a hold of the report because it's, you know, a bit hard sometimes to get a hold of reports, but this was I believe this was on Variety.
Mm.
So Variety, no, sorry, Deadline. Deadline, and this report said So well, this is Deadline, and then there'll be a quote. So, contrary to the party line in media, Netflix viewing is not a substitute. Contrary to the party line in media, Netflix viewing is a substitute for traditional TV, not a supplement. And we don't, and then in quotes, and we don't think those viewers are coming back. The trend is more likely to accelerate than decline, Junger says. That means big media companies are screwed. They can't, in quotes, stop licensing to streaming video on demand or face years of declining audiences. But if they stop licensing, then that would cause a material drop in immediate earnings, which investors won't accept. That's why Junger believes they'll continue to play a short-term game and increase the amount of content they license to SVOD to make up for the lost advertising revenue, which will only make the problem worse. But this is the real killer. This is the real killer. Junger also looked, you know, apparently looked into what people are watching TV on. I say TV, Netflix on. Mm. Deadline were like, wasn't the recent drop in TV ratings mostly due to Nielsen's slowness to count people who still watch mainstream TV but on tablets and smartphones? Junger says no. Quote, nobody's going to sit on their couch and watch video on their cell phone while keeping their TV set turned off. Most of this viewing is very likely to have come from found time when the main TV screen is not accessible or is already on. So, obviously, Chromecast doesn't exist. The new Firecast doesn't exist. General Wi-Fi dongles with access to video on demand services didn't exist. Or Blu-ray players with software for video on demand services didn't already exist, plugged in to the main feckin' television.
What about like games consoles with the apps?
That too. God, that stuff doesn't exist, man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're only watching them on tiny screens. It's like, no, I do not watch Netflix on a tiny screen.
Why is it whenever I read anything like that, they always come across as someone's granddad or, you know, uncle who lives out in the country?
It's because they're basing everything on their own experience, basically. Just, they can't imagine anybody not watching TV instead watching some silly shows on Netflix on their phone because they can't have the TV.
That is something I keep hearing where, just watching it on the phone. Yeah, stupid youth. You are aware that all these things are available on countless things, even if you don't include things like, you know, PS3s, PS4s, Xbox 360s.
Bear in mind that there's a lot of TVs nowadays that have Wi-Fi inbuilt and have apps inbuilt. It's not as though you need an extra device to actually stream Netflix to your damn service.
I think that these people can't accept the idea that a TV has stopped being a TV, and it is now a display for other things. So you can't just shout down the wire, and there's going to be someone, you know, there to see it.
Yeah,
because people can just be watching. Yeah,
I think the crazy thing about it is that Netflix and I guess you're not paying on like a per episode basis for access to stuff unless you're watching through something like, I don't know, like iTunes. Or the Google Play Store or something. But at the same time, you are paying for access at some point and there's no advertising. So it's like, maybe the motherfuckers have got to realise that people are sick to death of not being able to watch TV on their terms, which includes advertising, you know. Absolutely. And
I had to explain to your mum earlier on why a Facebook ad was kind of, you know, the picture was brilliant on it, but it kept on stuttering every second versus a video where it's, you know, somebody posting stuff, and even though it's lower quality, it plays perfectly. I had to explain that to her because advertisers don't get that. They don't want, you know, their shit rammed down your throat all the time. I think I switched who's who on that sentence, but yeah.
It's just like, oh, we got to rely on the advertisers' revenue. This is old broadcast mode. And it's like, how about you rely on the actual... That's a middleman you're having to deal with there. It's relying on advertising revenue rather than the actual direct customers that you're trying to appeal to. What the fuck?
The fact of the matter is that there's so many systems that are beginning to break down in the face of the internet because people have to get paid to make stuff, but they can't figure out a way how to make stuff pay.
And the thing is that research is... If there's a way... I mean, you'll still get piracy going on. That is...
You're always going to get people wanting something
for nothing. But if you make stuff available timely way and at a reasonable price on a multitude of platforms, you're less likely to have piracy going on.
Yeah.
As Mr. Kevin Spacey said with, you know, House of Cards.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you don't necessarily have to rely on releasing an entire season in one go if that makes you feel squeezy and uncomfortable.
But I mean, say for example, worldwide releases, you know, releasing at pretty much the same time all over the world helps.
It's like, oh no, we've got all this piracy. Well, if you actually released it at the same time, you're creating the situation where people know, you know, the house next door has got something, and they're wanting it too. So, of course, they're going to look over the garden fence. You are creating that situation, whereas if you give it to, you know, everyone, you know, piped it into everyone's homes as soon as possible, then people wouldn't have a reason.
And the thing is that consumers don't understand, and they don't really want to deal with the whole, oh yeah, well, we have to get it certified by this channel or that channel, or we have to go through these, you know, kind of loops and whatnot. And it's like, no, we don't care. We want our content and we want it now.
Yeah. That's what Australian audiences have been proving in the face of the lack of timely Doctor Who, even though this current season's been a shambles. But, you know.
Which I'll say, I think Capaldi is brilliant as a Doctor.
Oh, I like him as a Doctor.
Definitely.
It's been entirely down to...
Writers.
Writers and just, you know, production.
See, I don't even blame Moffat, because it feels to me like Moffat, you know, like partly wrote the, you know, first script and whatnot, and then I haven't actually seen his name on any of the other scripts.
Much.
I
think I saw him a couple.
But, you know, virtually at all. Throughout the rest of the season. And I think what's happened is Moffat's basically gone, yeah, I'm doing Doctor Who, oh yeah, but I'm kind of doing, you know, Sherlock and stuff and my own stuff as well. So I'm kind of, you know, even though I'm there for Doctor Who, I'm kind of stepping away a little bit.
But the thing is that even with the
content... And things have suffered for it.
Even with the content that hasn't been produced by him, and that, obviously me saying the feeling that it hasn't necessarily been drafted that many times before production... Mm. It could be a cost-cutting exercise on their part, because you've got to pay for each rewrite.
Very true.
Yeah.
And I think the flipping show suffered as a result of that. You know? But unless anyone else has anything else to say about video on demand, or as they decided to try and call it in their report, SVOD, because obviously the video on demand part somehow needs the streaming part before it.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, when it comes to video on demand, streaming is kind of the only way to do it, because to download is not to have it on demand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you have to download stuff before you watch it. And, you know, unless you're kind of living in, was it South Korea? Then
South Korea. Sorry, South Korea. You're talking about the big internet connection.
Yes, exactly. The you know, amazing amount of kind of... information transfer that you can get there, then you're not going to be able to kind of go, I've got it, I'm going to play it.
I will just add that I think one of the main things that the internet has done is that we're getting situations now where TV episodes are coming out the day after the being out, you know, on TV in the US, and we never used to get that.
Yep, absolutely. It used to be months before we actually got the episodes.
Yeah, it will be when we can be asked, because we know it's an utter pain in the arse to get, you know, those things sent over.
Yeah.
Is that you had to rely on VHS and, you know, the whole, if you got something, it would be in NTSC, and, you know, most PAL, VCRs, wouldn't touch them with a shitty stick. You know, so all of that. Whereas now it's, I'll go on, me mate Dave Internet's couch. Yeah. And it's just, it's there. So it does mean that, when we're finished recording this, I'll be able to sit down and watch the latest Gotham and the latest Walking Dead.
We've still got Gotham to go.
Yeah, well, we'll get two Gothams after tonight because we didn't watch last week's because it was too poorly.
That's getting a lot better.
I think it's.
Although it should be renamed Penguin.
Oh dear, the Penguin Show.
He's just amazing in it. Sorry, but he's
It's quite worrying though that it's kind of Gotham and oh yes, Penguin's the main star or main likable.
At least in this part of the arc.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to say, gentlemen, this is all we've got time for this week.
Seriously? Really?
Yes. If you've seen the time.
Oh, man.
People have got to stop. Yeah.
I could talk for at least, 7 minutes longer or so.
No.
No, seriously?
Sorry, when we stop recording, you carry on talking.
lock him in a box.
The one thing that I was actually thinking about earlier on is basically because obviously we've got kind of TV transforming with the internet and whatnot, and it's like it does make me wonder what's going to be next. What's going to be the next step in kind of media or entertainment?
Everything is going to be watched on Oculus Rift.
Ooh,
just kidding.
That is nice. Actually a pretty good answer, to be honest, because I was thinking more kind of. Like, I don't know, implanted memories or something. Sci-fi. That's more like 30 years on. But yeah.
It will be an entire history of you. Black Mirror episode. There you go.
Can you imagine that if it was implanted memories? How many people would have Batman implanted into them, and just running across the streets?
I'm Batman. Did anyone see that? Those cosplayers. This will be the last thing.
Oh, was that the couple that kind of ran up to every
John
Batman?
The John and Martha Wayne cosplayers who ran up to any Batman cosplayer they saw and went, "Son!" and then fell on the ground.
Oh my God, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I did.
I've seen at least one, possibly two different pictures.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just, you just have a cosplaying Batman looking down, looking sad. And just this couple with a red rose and a little in memoriam, framed picture, just on the floor, and he's like, "Oh, that's fantastic."
That's dark but fantastic.
Yeah.
So lots of sad Batmans or sad men.
Sad Batmen.
Yeah, sad men.
Bad sad men.
What's
I'm not sure where I'm going with this.
I don't either, but I want to say, unfortunately, that is all we've got time for this week.
Really?
Yes.
Aww.
So it is goodbye from...
It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
And it's goodnight from me, Paul, aka one-armed underscore cookie on Twitter.
And it's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter at EK6891. You may also be finding Paul and me at ArmadaCon in Plymouth on Saturday.
Ooh.
Where we'll be actually doing some live panels to do with Nerds Assemble. If you are in Plymouth on Saturday and feel like geeking out and talking about films, video games, and comic books.
Basically anything that we talk about on here.
Yeah, we're going to be around somewhere talking about this stuff, for three different panels. So, it's going to be cool. It's going to be tight. Hopefully we will actually also manage to record the audio from these and make sure that you dear people who obviously can't come to Plymouth are able to hear it.
Well, it's not that they can't, it's just that they refuse to.
Ooh.
But you can find, if you want, if you want show notes and stuff for this
episode.
We've
got show notes.
We might have show notes.
We didn't have show notes for the production of this.
I know, but a lot of the stories that we've referred to, I have actually got links saved here anyway.
Okay.
So in the episode that we posted on the website at www. www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. Yeah, you can find stuff. Find links to social accounts. Find links to hexdimension.com. Or you just go hexdimension.com. We have finished our Halloween competition. The winners were announced earlier. And prizes partially sent off. And we got to find a box big enough to put a load of crap in. I say crap, really good stuff.
Oh, and if you've you've actually enjoyed this kind of freeform style, just tweet us and we'll see what we can do.
Yes. Yes.
Next time we could have a rap battle.
Or you could if you're not on the Twitters, don't forget that you can email us at contact@nerdassemble.co.uk.
And if you're not on email, then how are you listening to us?
But don't forget, this episode is also available on iTunes and Stitcher if you've just found us and you're looking for an alternative way to listen to us. Plus, the website's got links to our RSS. And
if you're somehow just kind of listening to us inside your head without any kind of external kind of things, then get to your local library and email us. That'll do.
A bit like Chucky. Actually, I was just thinking about it. An alternative way of listening to us would be... like a metal rod or something, resting on the piano on your chin so you could hear it through your jawbone like Mozart.
Bloody hell.
Does that mean that we can, as long as we dig up and make him into a Cyberman again, Mozart could be...
We have to make sure we name him first in the episode. Say, yeah. Mozart! And you go, oh, that's okay, then I'll come back as a Cyberman, but I remember who I am. What?
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.